boot to the head. Ah! The Tour Bus Music Show. Show number 5, Sunday, September 26th, 2010.
This is Pete with Big Frank. You're listening to the Tour Bus Music Show on the Audios Maximus Media Network.
The Tour Bus. Louisiana's link to live music via the Audios Maximus Media Network with your hosts, T. Mike, Bozo, and Anna.
That's right, it's that time again. Welcome to the show. This is T. Mike,
Bozo,
and Anna,
your host for the Tour Bus Music Show on the Audios Maximus Media Network. I just want to again personally thank our listeners for the unbelievable response to the last show, and for that matter, the past several shows. A big round of thanks goes out to the guys in Big Frank for joining us on our last show in the studio here. Again, we have plenty of news this episode to share with you. Since this show has become available on iTunes, Zune, and the BlackBerry, as well as many other online areas, we have started to see worldwide interest in the show, with fans downloading and listening to the show in Japan, Russia, Germany, China, and many more countries. A big hello to you all. To be honest, the response has both astounded us here at the studio and humbled us. We are grateful for everyone's interest in the show, and this is from the bottom of our hearts. Along with continuing to bring you the Tour Bus Music Show, we at the Audios Maximus Media Network want to give you even more new shows with quality content to listen to. In that spirit, we will be launching 7 new shows and seasonal special episodes. Please check out our website at www.audiosmaximus.com. Again, that's www.audiosmaximus.com, so you can get more information on these news episodes and not to miss a show. A few of these episodes are being launched shortly thereafter this show, and also will be available on iTunes, Zune, and the BlackBerry, our website, and through other podcast directories. You can find our RSS feed information, as well as our blog and other show information, on our website. We invite you to enjoy all of the shows and join our growing community of listeners. As we have been mentioning, our next guest that will be on the October 10th show is none other than Steve Blaze of Lillian Axe. On our recent interview with him, Steve shared an immense amount of information on the history, present projects, and the future of the group. He also shared insights from his career as a professional musician, producer, and recording artist of almost 30 years. It was an amazing interview and one you will not want to miss. In this week's episode, we will be featuring Holtern Kinder from Tickfall, Louisiana, just outside of Hammond. This group has been burning up the club circuit in Louisiana and surrounding states for some time now. We will feature tracks from their recent demo, and they will share with us what makes them rock as hard as they do and where they are going in the near future. Again, this is Holtern Kinder.
Tales from the back of the bus.
Hello everyone, this is T. Mike with the Tour Bus Music Show. We're sitting down with Holtern Kinder. And along with me,
Bozo,
we're going to introduce the band. First of all, we have Greg on guitars.
Yo.
We have Chris
on the bass.
And we have Josh, lead vocals. We have Steve on the drums.
How you doing?
And we have Robo
on guitar.
What's up, y'all?
How and when did Holtern Kinder form, and how did the name come about?
Holtern Kinder started with me and Greg. We've been in various bands for 14 years, playing with various musicians. We have been playing out of kitchens, garages, basements, all types of places. We finally landed with a bassist named Kevin Darr, and he introduced us to Josh Atkinson. And Josh, you just came over one day and kind of just to hear what we were doing, and we set you up on a bass rig with a microphone.
Like, yeah, like, what happened was we thought y'all had beer. So we come over to hang out, and y'all didn't have no beer, remember?
The ugly truth rears its head.
Yep.
But then Josh started singing.
And we immediately realized that he had great potential. And
well, actually, it's funny because for a while there, we couldn't find anyone else really decent enough to play with, you know. And so for a while, me and him were kicking around the idea of saying, you know, piss on it, we're going to handle the vocals ourselves, which is, you know.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Especially so, we found that out real quick when you got wasted out of the show. Couldn't even play the song, much less try and sing.
So Kevin, we just picked him up a couple months prior to Josh and Robo coming over. And yeah, we saw Robo and Josh play before when they were in a band called
Drowning Man Trials,
yeah. And so we're familiar with the capabilities, you know. And so, you know, we were talking to Kevin. We're like, man, we need to find us a singer. Kevin's like, I got the dude. So we call this guy up. They roll over to our house. You know, we got a little jam room set up, and we start playing. I think it was Who Was I, wasn't it? The beginning of what was Who Was I back then. Of course, it wasn't called Who Was I. Anyway,
yeah, it was the first one we started.
Yeah. So he just starts, you know, belting out this thing, and it was just perfect, spot on, exactly what we've been looking for years and years. So we were just, man, it's one of those magic moments that just everything, you know, the stars align and pow, you know, it's just perfect.
That's because we had beer at that point.
Who was formerly and now currently a bass player for 12 Stones. He was playing bass with us, and he ended up getting called back to go play with him. So we needed to find a bass player. And
this was less than a year into us starting.
We'd already been playing shows.
Gaining momentum.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, we lose our bass player.
Yeah. And so Chris here, who has never played a bass prior to coming into this group, you know, Kevin calls him over and well, how did that work? Didn't we Josh. Give you like a rough demo?
Actually, I showed up. I showed up at
to a 12 Stone show.
To a 12 Stone show at like the that. The. Was it the Chevys or what is it called now? Asterisk.
Yeah.
And Josh came up to me and he asked me. He's like, "Can you play bass?" I was like, "I don't know. I can figure it out." He's like, "It's got to be just as easy as guitar."
I've been playing guitar for a while. The next weekend, you came in and just once again another musician just came in and blew our minds.
Yeah. Perfect. Did he like give you a copy, like a rough copy of the demo or something?
I did have a copy of the demo, so I did learn a little bit just of came stuff in before I came in there.
And nailed it. And then, so we've been playing like that for a little while, and then
situation arose to where Robo here could join the band. We've always been looking for a second guitarist to round everything out.
Yeah, just fill a sound. And it's, you know, came in. Because our styles are remarkably a lot alike.
Similar. They are very.
Yeah. And, you know, prior to this, we never played together, never even tried to write.
Well, we I guess a while back, probably several months ago, we talked about actually me being a part of the band, but it just wouldn't work out at the time. So I remember learning Who Was I, you know, going to a few shows, you know, setting up your guitar because you were having to bounce from work and stuff. So that was cool. Yeah. That's when I got the bug, actually. Poulter and Kinder, without me, was playing Mules. Mm-hmm. And I set up your guitar and played Who Was I with the rest of the band during soundcheck. And right then I was like, I got to be in this band. So.
Yeah, and so there again, everything just worked out perfectly. So here we are, Poulter Kinder. As far as the name goes, that was one of those things. Me and Steve could never settle on a name. We kicked around ideas for a long time. And so I came up with we had some horrible ones. I couldn't recite them for you.
No, don't do that.
Yeah,
that always seems to be the biggest pain in the ass is picking the name.
Dude, it was rough.
Well, all the good names are taken, right?
Right. And so, anyway, I was I'm infatuated with the German language. I love it. And I forgot what brought it on, man. But I just came up with Poulter Kinder, you know, noisy children, and. it's kind of got a little edge to it. Boulder Kinder, nobody really knows. Well, I mean,
everybody makes you repeat it when they ask you what's the name of your band. You say Boulder Kinder. They say what?
Yeah.
They walk away at least having heard the name, more than once.
Yeah, but it was one of those names where, like, Steve wasn't crazy about it. I wasn't, 100% on it, but it was like, we're going to stick with that until we can come up with something better. And it just stuck, and everybody seems to like it. So
we've got a lot of positive feedback.
Yeah, so now we're pulled together.
In the writing process, who comes up with the riffs, or is it a joint effort?
Actually, most everything that I walked into was already written by these guys.
Yeah.
Actually, Steve and Greg wrote a lot of the basis of most of the songs that we play right now.
Yeah.
Right.
It's stuff that we've been playing, playing around with for a couple of years. Like Steve was saying, we'd set up in his kitchen for, a couple of years, man. We were jamming out of your kitchen.
And then we moved to your kitchen.
Yeah, then we moved to my kitchen. Me and him and my brother moved into a house in downtown Hammond, and they had this perfect little side room. I guess it was a porch at one time, but they closed off. It worked out great. So it was one of those things where we kept playing around with certain variations of these songs, and so we bring all these guys in, and just they put their little spin on it, and just.
And over the course of us coming in, the writing process has kind of evolved. Especially like the newer songs that we have, everybody's involved with the writing process.
Very kind collective.
Of, we take it on as a team, and very democratically.
We came in here tonight, Greg's got a riff, I got a riff. We're just tossing stuff around, trying to see if we can make it work. See if we like the way it feels. Mm-hmm. That's how it gets started, I think.
That's pretty much it, yeah. Somebody's, dicking around with a guitar and they're in their room or their living room, bedroom, whatever, their house, and comes up with a really cool thing and present it to the rest of the band. Start jamming on it and add a few bridges and a few choruses, verses, and it's a song.
Very interesting melding we have, because we all have various tastes, but we do like a lot of the same bands.
Yeah.
That's why it works. Obviously, you can't have five different guys who like all different types of music come together and stay together for very long.
It worked the best.
But, you got myself who I just want to play thrash metal all the time.
Yeah, Steve's a purist.
You got Greg who
listens to Justin Bieber on
the ground. Yeah. Say, we got Hanson's
he
first
does.
Album.
Hey, this guy here with Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga.
Absolutely.
Chris, Lady Gaga.
Can't help it. She's my guilty pleasure. And you know what? To be honest with you, I'm not even really guilty about it.
Right.
Very well should be.
So, all these different influences and styles come together, and it really works out very well. Or it has so far.
It does, because it kind of gives us a kind of a broader range to kind of take roots from. It all kind of culminates. You can tell in our music, through the songs.
So the answer to your question is all of us.
I forgot your question.
So who writes?
Kind of elaborate on that question. I noticed when we walked in, y'all were playing, and y'all got a really good sound.
Thank you.
Is that something y'all consciously work on? I mean, EQing your amps to kind of fit with each other, or
constantly.
Especially these two with the guitars, trying to get the two tones to sound different, to get each guitar to sound different,
but not full together. I think we're all putting a lot of thought into our sound.
Yeah.
Right now, Chris is adding some gear, shaping his tone up, trying to get that bass punchy and out there like he wants it, and everybody's working on that.
Everybody has really wanted a strong bass sound.
Mm-hmm.
We all, it's a very important part of how we sound. So that's one of the things is we just decided on not having the bass fall to the background, being part of
have it prominent.
Definitely
kick drum.
Equal with the guitar.
Man.
So we all just really enjoy when you're sitting in a room, your entire body's shaking.
From head to toe. That's when you're making the best music, because we feel it.
And then Chris comes in with all these years of guitar playing experience and totally rips up the bass. And yeah. So you got to give him a little time from, you know, every now and then you got to give him a little time to shine. So he's got some little bass runs and solos.
Yeah,
and
like
stuff
who does sweep arpeggios
right,
on a bass?
Right, but and, you guy, know, bringing yeah. in a bridge, you know, that's really, really heavy. So it's really cool. It's a good mix. It's a different approach to some things, I guess.
Also yeah. on the vocals, we've always wanted some screaming, but also melody.
That's one of the biggest things. Yeah, one of the biggest things we're looking for is melody because, you know, a lot of the bands around here, we noticed for a while there it was primarily just scream. You know?
Yeah,
there's not. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's just me and Steve are big fans like harmony, mm-hmm. you know, and stuff like that. And yeah, Joshua brings that to the table. He's got a great voice, and you know, you can go. He's really really diverse. I guess it is.
Can y'all tell me about where y'all been playing and where you'll be playing in the near future?
We play mostly on the North Shore area, around the Hammond, Covington, Mandeville scene, as close as to home. We've been lucky enough to play out as far as Pascagoula, Mississippi on a regular basis. We played as far west as Shreveport, which that was a great show. That's excellent. That's paying our dues. We really understand
rock and roll.
Yeah,
we have to
do that.
Then we partied down in the hotel
gas.
After that, which pretty much was the
$300 on fixing the trailer.
Made the trip. And then I hit that deer.
No, that
back.
Deer hit you, my friend.
Yeah,
that deer broadsided you.
I was going like 80 miles per hour on the interstate, and this deer just comes out of nowhere. It just slams right into the driver's side, almost knocking off the road.
That was great. We were like, look at this. Look at this jackass. What's he doing? Well, wait a second, that's Chris.
That was crazy.
Yeah,
we played up in Tupelo too. That's a run, man. That's a bit of a drive.
Played over
twice.
There with Flaw and Saturate.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, that's
Charlie's
up
there, and
that's where we hooked up with Saturate.
Yeah.
This is a great band.
Yeah.
And we're gonna be playing some shows coming up with them the 17th of September.
And the 18th.
Yeah. And the 18th. Mm-hmm. But by the time this airs, that's gonna be in the past. But they are a good band to check out, and it probably will not be the last time that we play with those guys.
But if you keep an eye on the website and keep an eye on their sites as well, you'll know where they're playing. And having seen y'all, I would really suggest that everyone go and check them out. This band is really good.
Most definitely.
We pride ourselves in our live show.
Yeah.
We're definitely performers. You know, we like to be one with the crowd and, you know, keep contact with them and do silly things sometimes on stage. You know, it's about keeping their attention and keeping everybody entertained and interested.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing about active groups is that, you know, if you put that energy out there as a band and the crowd gets into it, you get that energy back from the crowd and just, you know, keep swapping it back and forth, you know, like mono.
Nice.
Yeah, we realized that...
did you say mono?
Talk about the swapping back and forth.
Yeah, I thought he said Bono, and I did not catch the correlation, but then I realized he said Mono.
Right.
Sorry.
We realized that when people come out, you know, they're paying to see a show.
Yeah.
And we pride ourselves on putting on an entertaining show, a performance. We do certain things, and yeah, we keep up the energy. We're a very high energy band. Don't want to leave people disappointed because they paid to see a rock show. I'm going to give it to them.
Paid to get your teeth kicked in. I'm going to kick them in.
Skip
that part. Okay, it's come to the time that we're going to play one of your songs.
Right.
First song we have up is Who Is I? Can you tell us a little about the song? You know, what inspired you to write it?
Greg and Steve had originally recorded like 5 or 6 tracks on a machine that they had at the house. And we came to the agreement that I was going to be in the band and all that. They gave it to me and asked me to listen to it, you know, to start writing melodies and lyrics. Now, a lot of these songs were written without a vocalist really in mind, so they had to be dissected and rebuilt, but 90% of it is still holding true to the original recordings. Who Is I was the first song on the CD that I listened to, and I immediately... I was able to come up with the melody and the lyrics for it. The whole Who's I thing is not Thick Fall-ology. It's not any kind of it's not any kind of broken English thing. It's a reference to the ego and the inner eye, that whole thing. It's not real deep. It's pretty on the surface. It's just a reference to it, something that I get into a lot and everybody else is pretty interested in, but that's what it's about as far as the writing of the guitar and drums itself.
Yeah, that was just a riff I've been kicking around for a little while, and
it's probably one of the greatest riffs ever.
Well, thanks.
I just love it.
That's my favorite guitar riff.
Is it really?
Yes, I love that riff.
One of those situations where me and Steve have been kicking around things, and it's gone through several changes over the years. And really, in our early writing in the early stages of our writing technique, we kind of had to compensate for not having vocals. So we would kind of put a little more music, a lot more changes in the song. And that's kind of reflected to today's, the way we write today too, like with all the different changes, you four or five bridges and, all this little stuff here and there. But that's kind of explains that song.
Paulton Kinder, Who Is I?
What do we really know? time to put each one of them on the spot to answer a few questions.
You're
on the hot seat.
Well, it's a nice section.
It's
cool.
It is.
It's rent to own.
People coming tomorrow to get it.
Well, we're going to start off with Greg. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, your experience, and previous groups you might have been in.
All right. I was born and raised in Ponchatoula. My family's been there since it was pretty much a dirt road and a log cabin. And I've lived in several different places growing up. Well, primarily Ponchatoula. My parents, so we lived in Cleveland, I think, for a couple of months when I was really young. Mandeville for a little bit. Anyway, that's where I'm from, Ponchatoula. Got into music in junior high. I think I was 14. Steve was 13 when we started our first group. It was 12. Okay, I was 13 and you were 12. And, you know, we've been playing off and on there. I did a couple of years with 12 Stones. Actually, I joined right out of high school. Joined up with them after they had already gotten signed and they recorded their first album. They just got back from Los Angeles. And Kevin Thar, I grew up with him. I've known him for a long time. I got a phone call from him saying, look, we're looking for a second guitar player available. I'm like, yeah, you know, I said right out of high school, I was working out in Madison, a little marina out there, and you know, I didn't have a whole lot serious going on, so I was like, yeah, I'll come out there and I'll try out. He gave me a little 5-song demo. I learned the songs in 2 weeks, came out and started jamming with them, and so I played with them as a touring guitar player for a couple of years, and then I'm gonna say in late 03, they asked me to sign the papers to become a member. I did. I became a member of 12 Stones, and I recorded on the second album, Potter's Field. I stayed with them until, I guess, late 05, when I decided it was time to go. I mean, it wasn't anything, I didn't leave on bad terms, it was just time, you know. I was going through some things in my life, and it was just time for me to focus on other things, you know. So, you know, after that, me and Steve were still playing around, and the years go by. All this stuff started happening, you know, falling in line, and you know, brings us back to the origin of the band. And so here I am today.
Who are some of your personal and musical influences that have helped mold you into the musician you are today?
I would say, off the top of my head, probably the most influential has got to be Steph Carpenter from the Deftones. And you can hear that in my playing too. Steph Carpenter, Max Cavalera, big fan of him. You know, the Sepultura and Soulfly, Nail Bomb, stuff like that. Adam Jones from Tool, definitely. I'm a big Stevie Ray Vaughan fan. I like the blues. I really like Stevie Ray's tone and his style. But you don't really hear a whole lot of that reflected in my playing. But that's pretty much it. There's a few others here and there.
What is your muse for playing the music you do?
That's a good question. Part of me wants to say maybe some angst. I'm not a very aggressive person, usually. You know, I've got buttons, but I don't let things really get to me a whole lot, so I'm not a very angry person. I like energetic music. I like recently, I've been getting into this kind of like Norwegian black metal phase, which for a long time I couldn't stand the stuff, you know? And I just, for some reason, started listening to it and, you know, kind of getting into it.
Mastodon.
Yeah. Well, see, Mastodon, I like them, but in small amounts. You know, I think I'd have to listen to them a good bit to really get into them. But as far as Muse goes, it just, you know, if I'm at home messing around with the guitar, just whatever I'm feeling at the time, I guess. Or, you know, I like energetic music. So that's kind of, you know, how I'm.
Well, what can you tell me about your instrument and your rig?
Well, my main guitar is an Ibanez SZ, and while I was with 12 Stones, I was fortunate enough to get an endorsement with Ibanez, and at that time, I think this was in 04, they just come out with the SZ line, and they sent me one out, because I wasn't entirely sure what I wanted to play. You know, I've played an RG for, you know, years prior to playing with 12 Stones. I think at one point every guitar player has an Ibanez and a solid state Crate amp in their bedroom, you know. They'd sent me that SZ and I liked it, but there's a few things about it that I went crazy about. So I got with them about it and we developed the one I have now, which is the body's made entirely of mahogany, because I like that, and it's not polished up, it's just raw. I like that kind of raw look and feel, you know. And I play, my backup guitar is a little Les Paul, a Gibson Les Paul studio, you know, in case I pop a string or something. I don't play it too often. My rig, originally, another endorsement I had was with Peavey when they first came out with the Triple X series. And they sent us a couple of those, and over the years, I've just kind of been messing around with different stuff. Like the head I'm playing thing now, that Fender is actually Chris's. It's got a little better tone to it. That's pretty much my rig. It's pretty straightforward, man. It's a PV cab with that Fender head. And I got a few little pedals back there. You know, pedal board's not really very elaborate. Not a whole lot going on back there. You know, I got a wah, I got a delay, I got a chorus. And that's pretty much it. You know, tuner.
Jazz fingers.
Jazz finger, yeah. Old jazz finger. That was a nickname given to me by Dave Fortman when we were recording Potter's Field. Because the way I hold my fingers, you know, they certain notes kind of, or certain chords don't come out the clearest. So nicknaming jazz finger, which I really kind of taken a liking to. It wasn't necessarily a term of endearment, but it was just, you know, it's one of those things.
Well, I guess that kind of partially answers the next question as far as the brand loyalty.
You know, if I were to be approached again with a deal, I would like to get back into to Ibanez. The guy I worked with out there at Ibanez was really, really good to me. He he took care of me. He sent me guitars. I mean, when Katrina came through, this is shortly before I split ways with 12 Stones. Katrina came through. I was living in Mandeville, you know, a couple of blocks from the lake, and so we got like close to 3 feet of water in our apartment. I ended up throwing away a lot of guitars just out on the curb, man. A lot of stuff I lost, but my Ibanez was trashed, and you know, at the time we weren't really doing a whole lot, and he was aware of that, and I called him up and I was like, "Look, man, you know, I need to. My Ibanez got messed up. Do you think you can handle it for me?" And sent it, you know. He's like, "Yeah, send it to me." He took it, cleaned it up, refitted it with some hardware, and sent it back. And I was really grateful for that. And so far they were really good. If I were to get another deal, I'd like to get back in touch with them. As far as amps go, you know, I'm not really too partial to any one particular brand. I mean, some I like a little more than others, but yeah, as far as, you know, brand loyalty, yeah, there's really none.
Do you have anything to say to your fans and listeners of the show?
Absolutely. Thanks so much for the support. Thanks for coming out and seeing the shows. You know, it's people like y'all that you know, keep this dream alive. You know, no band would be anywhere without their fans.
This is true.
Well, next we've got Chris on bass guitar.
Okay, what's the first question?
I'll tell you this. I think we got the bassists almost outnumbering another member of the group here. We've got three bassists here. So.
Oh, yeah, this is true.
Just fighting words, boy.
We do have some bass players up in here.
Yes, sir.
I'll tell you what, Chris. Can you tell us about yourself, your experience, and the previous groups you've been in?
Okay. I was born in Macomb, Mississippi. And I was raised mostly in the Hammond, Tangipahoa area, St. Charles. Well, I started singing actually first in high school, and that didn't work out too well. I try on singing. I ended up moving to playing guitar and got with a group whenever I came up here to college called In Medias Res. We played for probably about 10 years up until actually a few months ago. I was actually doing both bands, In Medias Res and Polterkinder, at the same time. You know, after 10 years of playing with these guys, you know, we just kind of, our lives all kind of went in separate directions, but I kind of wanted to keep playing. And some of the guys in the band, you know, they have their own projects and stuff now. I've played with some other groups like Manifest West with Josh, which we never actually got to play a show, but we practiced for about a year.
Vigorously.
And I played in another band too called Disease Called Drama, where I played guitar as well. And I was more of the lead guitarist, I guess.
Who's the singer in that band?
Paul Foster.
Oh.
But yeah, I ended up with these guys.
Who are some of your personal influences and musical influences, for that matter, that helped kind of make you into the
player you are today?
Well, I guess a lot of my passion for playing music and stuff kind of came from Dax Riggs, really, from the singer of Acid Bath. I started going to his shows right whenever Acid Bath had broken up. Agents of Oblivion had formed. I got to meet him at a show, and he's a really cool guy, and then I ended up like helping him out. I did some roadie work with his other band, Dead Boy and the Elephant Men. I got to go, you know, out of state and go do shows with him and stuff, and help him set up gear, run merch, just any kind of odd and end job there or need it. Just going to see, you know, this guy pack houses and just see how much he loved music and loved, you know, playing, and was really great at it. It's just really inspiring to me. And then that's kind of whenever I went into my own band and started trying to do my own thing. And here I am now. Some other influences, I guess. Well, my number one bass influence would be Kevin, who used to play in the band, Kevin Darr. He helped me a lot along the way, but from switching from guitar into bass. I had to drop the pick and start playing with the fingers, which, you know, it's kind of odd at first, but I'm latching on. As far as bass is concerned, I like Victor Wooten, Les Claypool. You know, I like people that, you know, bring a new element, I guess, to the bass other than just, you know, just chugging along, I guess. I don't know. I like diversity.
Well, what is your inspiration for playing music that you do?
I guess, you know, the first show that I played, the adrenaline is really what it is. It's a high that no drug can compare to, is all that I can say, is that it fills, there's a void in me that it fills that nothing else can fill, and that's why I do it.
Can you tell us a little bit about the rig you're currently playing?
I purchased this Galleon Kruger amp probably just a few months ago, actually. I'm kind of always adding and trying to sculpt my sound out now. As far as being like a, you know, brand loyal, like, there's no real particular brand that I'm loyal to as far as bass stuff is concerned. When I was playing guitars, though, I really preferred the sound of Paul Reed Smith's and Schecter's. Those are my favorites. But as far as, it's just what sounds good, really.
Well, do you have anything to say to your fans and listeners out there?
That I love you and keep coming out to shows, and I will keep rocking as long as they keep rocking.
Thank you, Chris.
Now brings us to Josh.
Boom, boom. What's up?
Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your experiences in previous groups?
I was born in Hammond, Louisiana. I lived here up until 5 or 6 years old. My dad builds houses for a living. The market kind of crashed, I guess, now 20 years ago or so. And he had to strike out on the road to go find work, and we followed behind him naturally. And Robo and I, which Robo's my brother, traveled around with him and lived in Tennessee, Texas, Virginia, and, you know, various other places. Came back to Louisiana when I was 11 or 12 years old, and been here ever since. As far as music is concerned, I got a really late start in comparison to my peers and friends that are in music. I was 24 years old, and my brother bought me a bass because he couldn't find anybody else that would sit down and jam with him, really. You know, he bought me a bass so that we can kick around and jam. He played guitar all of his life, as far back as I can remember, and he'd gotten back into it for a few years, and I couldn't pick up on it. I just don't have the attention span to play an instrument. I really don't. And I've always written poems and, you know, whatnot, just writing things. And I picked up a microphone one day and was really just terrible at that, but I enjoyed it. It was a really good outlet, and I really truly enjoyed it. So I kept with it, and Robo and I started, you know, beating around on some covers and things, and one thing led to another, like a lot of other bands. You know, you start jamming, and then you have a friend who plays, and he comes and jams, and we essentially started a band called Headlock, and we would play a lot of covers, and we started writing originals, and I just practiced and practiced and practiced, and I sang literally. You know, I found that what I could do within my own realm, I didn't really learn how to sing per se. I just learned what I could do within my own realm, and then I stay within that realm. Naturally, I try to improve and and stretch my boundaries and limits so that I can get better. But, you know, that's what I kind of did, is figured out what it is I could do and stuck with it. Headlock originally started out with, you know, four guys, and because of life and different things, we ended up losing our original bass player and bringing in David McDonald, really good friend of ours, and he played bass with us for a couple years. Casey Dufour, the original drummer, took a new job and, you know, took that path to get on the career path and chose that route. It was a very very mutual split. We brought in Adam. What's Adam's last name, Rebel?
Amato.
Adam Amato, who also plays for Faith in Flames, another local band that's just full of talent, really cool. And that it was all the same music, just rewritten with new bass lines and new drum parts, and it turned into Drowning Man Trials. And we played as Drowning Man Trials for a couple years in the area and got to meet a lot of really cool people. And I was doing the Poulternkinder and Drowning Man Trials thing for just a few months, and Poulternkinder immediately started consuming a lot of my time. Drowning Man Trials was much more of a laid-back endeavor. We would play a show every month, 6 to 8 weeks, something like that. We were just jamming in the garage, having a good time. Poulternkinder immediately became my life's ambition in music. The music, when I first heard it, pulled me in. I fell in love with it, and the people in the band, you know, it's just, that's now what I am focusing all my time on. And, you know, that's where we're at now as far as Poulternkinder is concerned. We have a goal. We're on a mission, and we're going to do everything in our power to make sure that it goes where we want it to go.
Awesome. Who are some of your influences that help make you who you are today?
I guess some of my bigger influences would be Tool, you know, Maynard James Keenan, Pete Loeffler with Chevelle. Listened to a lot of Helmet back in the day, all the early stuff in the 90s that was coming up, that was really cool, was more the heavy things like Korn, things like that. But I'm not really good at doing the whole cover thing, so, you know, sometimes you take an influence and you approach it as trying to essentially emulate, and I just wasn't really ever good at that. But the influences for me really come in on just the emotion. Whenever I'm listening to a band, whatever kind of emotion that the singer can give, you know, that he can output. If I feel that emotion and I really dig it, then I just try to find a way to capture that emotion and embody it and try to do the same kind of feel.
What about your inspiration for singing?
My inspiration for singing started off as something that was, it was just really fun to do, and then it became an obsession, which is now still where I stand. Naturally, like every musician that you'll ever talk to, it's music is an outlet. It allows you to get rid of some angst or to portray things to other people that you may feel could be valuable to them. But my biggest inspiration is I love it. It's the only thing that I really enjoy doing. I pretty much suck at everything else, and I have to play music for a living. I have to.
If I could just comment on that, I know where you're coming from with that, because when you develop a real passion for something, it's funny. Other things in your life tend to become a little less important as your focus sharpens on what you're really, really into. Like I said, I totally know where you're coming from with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's, you know, musicians get a bad rap off the get-go, because musicians are selfish, man. A musician has to be selfish in order to be successful. Yeah. They have to be wholehearted, you know, and involved. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, especially if you want to be a professional musician.
Right, yeah. That's definitely taxing.
Yeah, don't get me wrong, the whole rock star glam and glory thing, that's all great, but that's not where I'm at as far as where my head and heart is at. I just want to play music for a living, because, like you guys said, you know, it's what I enjoy doing. Mm-hmm. Some people go to college and get degrees and go on to do things that they enjoy doing. The only thing I really enjoy doing is music, so I want to make a living at it.
Sounds good. great to me. Do you have anything to say to your fans and listeners of the show?
Yeah, I'd really like to say thank you, like, from the bottom of my heart and everybody else's heart in the band, to the fans, because without the fans, naturally, you can't do this. And we have a lot of really, really cool fans that come to a lot of shows, that travel with us, that help us out immensely, and they're a very critical and important part of this band. And we'd really like to tell them thank you. And to people who aren't fans yet and who may not really be involved with local music, get involved, because the local music scene thrives on the fans, and we got to get people in Louisiana more involved with the local scene. We got to get them more excited about the music. There's a plethora of music down here, and it's outstanding. It's excellent. Get out there and listen to it, man. Get away from the radio.
All right, next up, we've got Steve.
What's happening, folks?
Tell us a little bit about yourself, your experience, and your previous groups, and your entire history all the way back to the very moment that you were born.
Very moment I was born, I was hanging out.
You've just been hanging out since then,
right? I was hanging out in a women's hospital in Baton Rouge there on our airline. That's where I was born. I've lived in various places all in Louisiana. Never lived anywhere else other than Louisiana, southern Louisiana. I've lived in Slidell, Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Ponchatoula, and Hammond. Like I said, all in Louisiana, southeast Louisiana. I really enjoy the area here. The people here are real nice. It's unlike anywhere else in the world that I've found.
Who are some of your personal and musical influences kind of made you into the drummer you are?
Well, both of my parents were drummers, my mom and my dad, so I've been around the drums all my life. A lot of people like to call me ambidextrous, but I'm not. I just do things weird. I do various things left-handed and various things right-handed.
That's really not weird. That's just drummers.
Yeah, we are a very strange... Well, I think ambidextrous, you have to be you have to be able to do everything left-handed and right-handed. I'm just strange. I just never knew which hand to use on a lot of stuff, so I just started using whatever hand. I just learned to do it that way. Two of my biggest influences would be Abe Cunningham from the Deftones and Igor Cavalera from Sepultura. I also really enjoy older drummers such as John Bonham from Led Zeppelin, and Mitch Mitchell from Jimi Hendrix is just a phenomenal drummer. It's just amazingly crisp and fast with his rolls. That's one thing I like to focus on, is the speed of my rolls and the clarity of it. And that's one thing I really focused on. Those guys are mainly my biggest influences. Other bands I've listened to over the years be Tool.
Mastodon, you're a big Mastodon fan.
Yeah. Mastodon.
No Effects.
Big Deftones fan.
No Effects.
Obviously you said that.
Yes. It's just an amazing amount. It's way too much to think about right now. Way too many great, great Melvins. Bands out there.
Melvins. Yes,
definitely. Yes, gotta absolutely. Got to mention the Melvins.
T.Y.
Yeah, T.Y. from Black Market Halos. Phenomenal drummer.
I think T.Y. has come up in just about every show we've done thus far.
Really?
That guy is...
You don't even have to mic his snare.
Yeah, he's...
No matter where he plays, he hits it that hard.
It's just unbelievable.
Not to mention, he's a hell of a nice guy, too.
He is a hell of a drummer.
Yes.
Best damn nice guy to boot. Yeah. What are some of the previous groups you've been in?
I really haven't been in many groups. I've been pretty loyal to the few bands that I have been in. Like I've said previously, me and Greg have been together since we first picked up our instruments. Greg was actually singing. He started off singing, and then, junior high.
Yeah. I realized it sucks, so I started hiding behind a guitar. Like, that's it.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happened there. No sugarcoating that. Yeah. Me and Greg played together 14 years under various aliases. Mm-hmm. When Greg was fortunate enough to tour with 12 Stones, I hooked up with a guy named Aaron Hill, a very talented individual. plays drums, guitar, bass, keyboard, saxophone. I don't know. He doesn't play a saxophone. He's a very talented musician. We got together and we're playing some very interesting music, having fun doing that, recording. Didn't really play anywhere. And currently I am in Poultrum Kinder, obviously, and another band, a little side project with Josh Atkinson and Nick Williams and Greg. And Greg, I don't know your last name, but
Greg.
Just Greg, yeah.
Just Greg.
And we're doing a rock, blues, country, punk type of mix, just a mutt mix of all type of genres. It's really fun. Obviously, Poultrum Kinder is the band. They just have a lot of fun doing that, and that's about it.
Cool. What has inspired you to play music that you do? I mean, why do you have such a love for this type of music?
This type of music is like everybody else has said before me. It's just the energy. I got into playing drums because I was a kid who probably needed Ritalin and was never prescribed it, and just so the drums was perfect. You know, you can't beat the crap out of a guitar and people clap. So it was perfect. It got out a lot of my energy, a lot of angst, and, you know, teenage anger and all kinds of good stuff. It was a nice release of energy.
You're talking about drums that are getting laid.
That would be drums.
Which is it, buddy? Your kit. Can you tell us, I mean, we've got drummers listening to our show as well. Can you tell us a little bit about the kit you're playing on right now and why you picked it?
It's a Maplewood PDP, Pacific Drums and Percussion. I started out with Sabian cymbals. I'm moving more towards a Zildjian, but I'd really like to start getting into Pisces. They have just tremendous, tremendous sounding cymbals. The only problem with that is it's been, you know, the financial backing. It's
as they are tremendously, tremendously proud of their symbols.
Yeah, well, they are, but and it shows. But you're going to pay for it, you know.
But again, with instruments, you know, like anything else in life, you know, you pay for quality.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You get what you pay for.
And not to take away anything from Sabian or Zildjian. They're both very, very good sounding.
From all means.
One thing I think is unique about my drum set is I have been playing drums for 14 years and I still don't know how to tune them. I know the theory of it, but I just kind of mess around with it until it sounds not horrible. And my drums are a little unique because they have been forged in Louisiana summer trailers. Sitting there, so they're a little warped and just get an interesting sound out of them, but there's nothing wrong with them at all.
Well, do you have anything to say to the fans and listeners out there as well?
Absolutely, support local music. Everybody's doing this for y'all. Come out, see the shows. Everybody knows that radio nowadays, they play the same four songs over and over again, and they just shove it down your throat. I think a lot of people are getting tired of listening to the same thing over and over again. Local bands in your community thrive off of y'all coming to shows and showing your support. So just keep doing that, and thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
Now, on to the man of the minute is Robo.
What's up?
Tell us a little bit about yourself, your experience, and previous groups.
Been in a couple. I'm probably the oldest guy in the band. Let me see. Do a quick head check. Yeah, I'm the oldest guy in the band. I just like to play music. That's my gig, right? And that's what turns me on. So I come from about the same thing Josh did. I mean, exactly the same thing. Really, we were brothers. We're 6 years apart. So like he said, I play guitar ever since like the hair metal days. You know, I got turned on then. And I was checking out the likes of Whitesnake and Kiss. And, you know, those guys play guitar. Eddie Van Halen play guitar like nobody's business, you know. So, of course, I think everybody and their brother wanted to be a guitar player. So when you tried to start a band, you had like four guitars and no drums, no bass. Nobody could sing. You know, nobody wanted to be the bass player because he wasn't, I don't know, he didn't have the same glamour effect. But I grew out of that eventually and started liking really heavy music, darker type stuff, and that's kind of my personality type, I guess. So, you know, when everybody was listening to Green Day and stuff like that back in the day, I was probably checking out the likes of Helmet. Ministry was big back then. Of course, Pantera, the harder bands, you know, especially, you know, the bands like Pantera that came out of this area in the, you know, the South anyway, Texas, and you know, Phillip's from here, and, you know, the Acid Bath, you know, just like Greg. Once you hear that kind of stuff, I don't know, I went to a show in 1992 and saw a band that absolutely blew my mind, Crowbar. And if you haven't seen a Crowbar show or listened to one of their mini albums, you're missing out on life. especially if you play guitar. In my case then, I didn't know the guitar could sound like that. You know, so that's what got me. So I started trying to adjust, you know, the way I've, you know, approached the guitar. You know, dialing back on the gain. Maybe I don't need all that distortion. Why don't I just let the tone ring through? So that's kind of how I approach it. I still like a nasty guitar, though. You know, that's just me. And then Greg's sound is a little smoother, and it's a lot in just his style, the way he plays. So that's why I think, it, you know, the sound is good. And we're coming together. Every time we play together, we get tighter and tighter. So I'm still, this is all his baby. He knows all this music like the back of his hand. Him and Steve, you know, Chris and I are still trying to learn it a little bit. Me more so than Chris, but, you know, everything's new.
What about previous groups?
I played in Headlock with Josh and a couple of friends of ours. I think he mentioned them already. And that was essentially, you know, just for fun, just for giggles, if you will. And we were like, cool, we could actually do it. So we started, you know, hanging out with musicians and meeting people. And you develop these relationships and you hang out and you party and you jam together. And you're, you know, and then next thing you know, you start another band and another band. So I went from Headlock to Drowning Man Trials with Josh. We had our own thing going on, like he said, not real serious though. It was more of an outlet and our attempt at creating. You know, we both had the bug to create. So, you know, Josh likes to write and he likes to express it when he sings, and I like to play guitar. So the camaraderie of it, I like too. Like, these guys are my friends. We're not just a bunch of guys who play music together. And I know some other guys like that who, you know, play in bands together for years and they are just, you know, best friends. Yeah. It's a close bond you have with your bandmates because you're all counting on each other all the time to play your part, you know, to be there when it's your turn, you know, to show up, help out. You know, everybody's got a part to play, so we all take it seriously and commit to one another in the band. And that's why we have a little bit of success, I think.
I can agree with that wholeheartedly.
Yeah, we take it seriously.
Who are some of your more personal and musical influences?
I really like that Crowbar show I saw. Like I said, you know, that changed my perspective on the instrument. And then I started listening to of course guys like Adam Jones, who just totally changes the instrument. I think I read an interview where he was quoted saying, you know, the electric guitar is a totally different instrument from an acoustic guitar, because when you plug it in, it comes to life. And there's so much, and you watch Greg and I play, we really try to work in stuff like feedback and you know, playing with manipulating the sounds that you can normally get out of your instrument, you know.
Yeah.
I love feedback. It's like the best. Thank you, Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. And then Adam Jones is a master of manipulating feedback. You know, one of the things that I like about Crowbar is they do the same thing. You know, they'll hold that root note and you just got in there just running all around it. It's just ridiculous. Whoever thought you could just make noise and make it work, so love that kind of stuff. But all the classic guys, you know, I'm a guitar fan. You know, I can't name you who was the bass player for this or that, you know. No offense to bass players, but, and I can't really name you a whole bunch of guitar players, but I can tell you bands that I liked. You know, Paige Hamilton with Helmet, he just plays a different way. He just looks at it differently, and he does it a little different, and he don't care who likes it or who don't, and that's his thing. So I got a lot of respect for that. Steph Carpenter is a fool. We use those guys as references, you know, when we're building a riff, when we're writing a song. It's got that Steph Carpenter feel thing to it. You know, I said that earlier tonight. Those are the guys we listen to. They're the guys that rock us. You know, when I hear something, it doesn't matter who it is. I don't have a favorite band. You know, if a band plays a song that I feel moves me, then I'm in. That's my
awesome.
Deal.
Awesome. All right, well, what about your muse? What drives you to play the music that you do?
I have the need to create. I'm always See, I'm the world's worst at joining a band and somebody's like, hey, let's play a cover. Because I don't really know any. You know, I know a few riffs and a few licks, but all the music that I play is music that I've either written or learned, you know, playing with these guys. But everything else has just been stuff that I wrote. So I'm not, of course, you know, some of the fundamental stuff I know. Yeah. You know, the a lot of your basic songs, your the songs that you just have to have, you know, your staples, if you will. But as far as just running out there and learning a bunch of people's music, never was my thing. I just like to pick up the guitar and see what came. And it was, you know, built from the mood that I walked into the room in, you know. And when I leave the room, I'm always kind of full, if you will, satisfied, you know. When I put down my guitar, usually I've had enough, hopefully, you know, I got to play long enough. Sometimes when you're on stage, though, it's like that hour or 45 minutes that you've put into it, just not enough, but you appreciate the time you had. You know, for people to sit there and listen to you.
All right, well, what can you tell me about your instrument, your rig?
I'm playing, my primary guitar is a Gibson SG Standard that I picked up from a buddy of mine who came by and had it for sale, and it was black, and it had a good feel, a good sound, and I was like, yeah, I like this guitar. So I bought it from him. I was playing an Epiphone Les Paul before that, that I've been having for years that I love. We call it the Beast. You know, it's got a Duncan pickup in it. I put it in a few years ago, and it's just raunchy and raw. Love it. We're playing everything now in C sharp. As a matter of fact, we started experimenting tonight with some lower tunings. We're thinking about getting into some different ground, if you will, covering some different ground. I like black guitars. I don't know why. It's like cars, you know. Black's just my favorite color. Black T-shirts, cars, and guitars.
There you go.
It's the way it should be.
Hell yeah.
I do have an affinity for the Gibson guitars. I like their classic styling. I like the way they look. I like the way they play. But I'm not opposed to playing anything else, you know. I pick up one of Greg's. In fact, I wish that he would change the strap lock on his guitar so that I could play it sometimes. But there, you know, the Ibanez. I like the Ibanez. Yeah. It's hot.
Yeah.
It's got some really hot pickups. Sounds good. But I'm playing a B-52 head and cabinet. Well, I'm actually playing your PB cabinet now. I like that one a little better. But the B-52 head I bought 4 or 5 years ago because I wanted a tube head. And it was pretty cheap, and it had a cool tone. You know, I was like, that sounds pretty good. And I've been playing it for the last 4 or 5 years. I bought a Mesa a little while back, and honestly, just doesn't keep up. The B-52 has been a reliable, trusty head for me, so I like the way it sounds raw. I spilled a beer on it.
Yeah, you did.
And it made some funny noises, and it shut down on me for about, I don't know, 12 hours. Crunk it back up, and it was ready to rock again, so... We throw that thing in the trailer. It's great. I retuned it. You know, I've had it gone through. I played the Triple X as well. Love the way that head sounds, but it just doesn't have the bottom end that this one does. And that's my part in this band is I bring the chunkier low end stuff. Greg's handling all the lead work and stuff. So I'm just kind of being the metal backbone, if you will.
I heard a lot of good things about B-52s.
Yeah, they make good equipment. Everything up, and like I said, I've had that for almost 5 years with no issues. It's been a great piece of equipment. I got a couple other ones over there sitting in the corner, so needing repairs, that's the way it goes.
Do you have anything to say to your fans and listeners?
Yeah, thanks for the support and thanks for coming out. You know, Steve was hitting pretty hard on, you know, local music thrives on people going out and seeing shows, you know, picking up CDs at your local music store or whatever it is. When you get done seeing a band at a live show, you know, go up and talk to the band. You know, most of them have mailing lists and, you know, free stuff or stuff for sale or whatever. Check them out and get to know them a little bit because, you know, that's how you find out where they're playing again. You get to see all these other great bands that they're playing with. We play with bands, different bands every time we play, and all of them are fantastic. We get to see all this great music. You know, if you're a fan of live music and stuff that's new, what's going on, get out there and see some shows. Awesome. That's where it's at.
Polton Kinder, Suicide Pose.
We'll be right back.
we're back with Poulter and Kinder. Hope you enjoyed the song we just played. That was Suicide Pose. Guys, can you tell me what your favorite show that you performed at was like?
My favorite show was at the Celtic.
That was
the one time we played there. I was pretty drunk, to say the least. Somehow I managed to go through the whole thing. Saw a couple of good bands that we played with. Rockwell Superficial. I remember them being really fun and interesting to listen to. Kind of like a more mainstream Melvins. Real cool guys. And I just had a blast. That atmosphere that they provide. When I first got there, I thought, man, this is a hole in the wall. Why is this so popular? But it's not really, it doesn't look like a hole in the wall or anything like that. But I guess I was expecting a lot more. And once that place started filling up and we were walking around, one of our first schemes to try and get people to really, really hook people into coming and seeing us and checking our stuff out on the web, we were walking around with a notebook and getting people's emails and phone numbers and names. We were doing that while we were all drinking. So it turned out to be a pretty fun time. There's a lot of people there, real cool people there in Mississippi.
Yeah, the Varsity Show is another good. That's probably my favorite one. The Varsity Shows. We, you know, that's one of the bigger places around here to play. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the Varsity.
It was the first time I played the full set.
Yeah, it was the House of Blues of the North Shore, man, that the Varsity is. And, yeah, that was Rolo's first show with us. And you know, it was just one of those high points, you know, so far.
Really, my personal two favorites were obviously Augustine's, which is the pinnacle in Hammond. Just everybody loves Augustine's. My favorite bar. It's great. That's where we get to play with our people, man. They come out.
That was a great show.
That was.
Yeah, it's awesome, local folks. And then recently at Fat Cats with Black Market Halos. Black Market Halos is hands down our favorite metal band in this area. Draw a lot of inspiration from those guys. They're all really, really, really cool cats. But that bar, man, that bar was great. There was probably 50, 60 people in there, dude, and they were all digging it, and it was sweaty, nasty, and it was throwing down, man.
That was a pretty solid show, man, all around.
Yeah, for sure.
And ridiculous amount of equipment. Yeah, it took up about a quarter of the bar.
Biggest sound system
kind of a small ever.
Yeah.
It's small and it's grungy, but it's the quintessential rock bar.
Oh, dude, yeah. Yeah. Not lacking some power.
Where can people go to find out where you're performing, your band news, purchase your swag? Of course, we definitely need to plug your swag. So. Support your bands. Support your local bands.
Yes,
support
indeed.
Poulter and Kinder.
The best place to go is www.poulterandkinder.com.
That's POLTERNKINDER.
That's the Sesame Street version. Yeah. if you go to PoulterKinder.com, man, it'll take you to, they got links there that'll take you to everything else that we're doing. And there's a show schedule, there's some videos on there, there's some merch. You can download the demo for free. And just go check it out. That's where all things Poulter Kinder can be found.
Cool. It can also be found on MySpace, Facebook,
yeah.
Twitter. We got a Twitter too.
We have a Twitter.
You can follow us.
Don't follow too closely.
You might be a mop when we're done.
Yeah, we make abrupt stops.
So. Okay, well, it's time to play another song. The song's called Downer. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Go ahead, Greg.
Downer, there's really not a whole lot of backstory behind it, man. There again, it was just, musically anyway, there was just one of those things that we had been kicking around, you know, pieces and parts of. And, you know, with the help of the rest of these guys, it just kind of became a song. Now, vocally, that's Josh, you're gonna have to explain that.
Lyrically, Downer is sounds a bit like a rant, or like I'm pointing my finger and laying blame, have you? But it's actually an inward look at myself, and you know, a perspective of some of the things that I've, you know, done or brought upon myself, some of my flaws and shortcomings, and then it's just, I'm just using it as a catalyst to get my point across. And, you know, the point is that nobody's perfect, and I'm definitely not perfect. But it's definitely not about anybody but myself.
Poulter and Kinder, Downer.
advice do y'all have for anyone that wants to start a band of their own?
Go to college.
Which is a very good.
I would say, advice. You know, if it's in your heart, man, if you really want it, go for it, man. Balls out.
Absolutely.
Just do your thing.
Don't let nobody tell you can't do it.
That's exactly correct. But do it for the right reasons. Do it for you. You know what I mean? Because that's, you know, if you're just playing it to impress the ladies or to, you know, for any bogus reasons like that, it's going to be more or less crap.
Go to college.
But you also have to realize that it is a very competitive field, and there is literally hundreds of thousands of very, very talented people out there doing their thing. And you have to go into it knowing that there's going to be a grind, and they don't... The term starving musician wasn't just pulled from the air. You got to realize that there's going to be some times, there's going to be some very rough times.
Yeah, there's dues to pay.
But, you know, if you really, really want to do it, then go with it. Don't let anybody tell you you can't do it.
Yeah, it's a perilous journey, man. And we're just scratching the surface. Don't get us wrong. We've been doing this for a little over a year now. And we've been doing all that we can do to pay our dues. We have a lot of dues left to pay. And we understand that. That's one of the biggest things, is to understand that. And from a logistical standpoint, from the best advice I can offer, if you're going to start a band, is to don't get in a hurry. Write the music, get the material, get a product, and, you know, do all the things that you see bands doing over a period of time in the beginning, so that when you get out there, you're ready. When you play a show and somebody says, hey man, y'all got a CD, don't say, yeah, we're coming up with one in a couple of months. You know, everybody does it. We've done it. It's really, if you have the opportunity to prepare yourself before you get out there and start booking shows, that would be my advice, because we are still, you know, kind of falling behind people. We just got t-shirts and merch and things like that. If we'd have had that stuff 6-8 months ago, we'd be much further ahead of the game than we are at this point.
Yeah.
So just really think about that stuff before you get started.
Well, Greg, Chris, Josh, Steve, Rubble, really, it has been a great pleasure talking to you guys.
Same here.
I want to thank you very much for your hospitality, showing us, taking the time to talk with us. Before we go, as a group, are there any shout-outs to anyone in particular that has helped this band out over time or to your fans?
I would like to give a shout-out to my wife. You know, when we first started playing, there was this bar in Slidell. She got us into through connections, and that was really kind of the jumping-off point. You know, she's been really, 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 supportive. So I couldn't have done it without her, personally.
Yeah, I'd definitely like to give a shout-out to my wife. She's very supportive. She puts up with a lot, like any musician's wife does. I'd like to give a shout-out to Nick Williams at NRW Productions.
Absolutely.
For helping us out with our demo and, you know, being a really good outside ear. I'd like to thank Mike Rouget for helping spread the word of Pulver Kinder and just for being a really cool cat. I'd like to thank Black Market Halos, As Worlds Fall Apart.
All the bands we've played with.
Every band we've ever played with.
Gethsemane.
Yes.
Mike Schimmick as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Doing a lot of
digital designer.
Yeah, he's been pretty
helped us out quite a bit.
DJ Pixie.
DJ Pixie on Scrub Radio. You gotta check Scrub Radio out for sure.
Everybody who comes to a Poulter and Kinder show.
Everybody. Yeah. Love it. Love
you. Everybody.
Y'all.
And we've got, you know who you are, the ones who can't stay away. We love you back.
Word.
And with that, thanks again.
We're out of here.
We hope you enjoyed the interview at Poulter and Kinder. I sure know me and Bozo had a great time going over there with the guys and recording it. As we have said before, we want you to be an interactive part of our show and to be a contributor to our community by checking our website for upcoming artists and leaving your comments and questions for our guests on our email at thetourbus@audiosmaximus.com. We have received a number of requests so far, and we would also like your suggestions as to which bands you would like to hear on upcoming shows. If you are in a band that is currently performing or will be performing in Louisiana, and you have released or will be releasing a CD in the near future, and you would like to be on the show, we ask that you email us at thetourbusdepot@audiosmaximus.com. Again, that is thetourbusdepot@audiosmaximus.com. Please include your contact information along with information on your group. This also applies to regional or national acts that will be performing in Louisiana within the next 3 months. We would love to have you on the show. The groups that will be featured on our show are subject to certain qualifying criteria. For more details, please email us at the show at the tourbusdepot@audiosmaximus.com. Our next show will be posted on October 10th, 2010, when we will be featuring Steve Blaze of Lillian Axe. Please remember that if you like our podcast, we ask that you would subscribe to it, and also please vote for us on iTunes and other podcast sites where you find our show. Please spread the word to all your friends, tweet out that you're listening to us, and connect with us on Facebook and MySpace. You can find our RSS feed information on our website so you don't miss the bus. Please visit our website for information on our other shows, such as our upcoming episodes of My Symphony of Life, The Whims of Magical Mousecast, I Just Want to Be Able To, a computer lesson show, Echoes of Laughter, The Onstage Music Show, which is the sister show to the Tour Bus Music Show that'll be featuring other bands besides rock groups, and our roundtable discussion show, Pints and Pinions. Well, that's about all the time we have for now, but look for our next episode of the Tour Bus Music Show soon. Again, it will be posted October 10th, 2010. Until then, this is T-Mike,
Bozo,
and Anna.
Thanks so much for listening to our podcast, and we look forward to having you back on our next show. Until then,
rock on.